Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Syracuse Police Chief Frank Fowler. Chief Fowler has been heading the Syracuse Police Force since 2009. Chief Fowler, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start with a question that has been almost literally burning across the country. Police shootings of unarmed citizens and police beatings, especially of people of color, they've hurt police-community relations and they've damaged the trust in police. Has the department here in Syracuse taken any specific steps to try to prevent that from happening here?
Okay. Let me answer your question directly by saying yes, and let me follow up by trying to add some perspective on that, right? So you're talking about the perceived actions of a few people, and that has fed into the perceptions of many people. Mm-hmm. And as the chief of police, I have to deal with facts and I have to deal with the perceptions, because that is a perception is a person's reality until you introduce something new into the picture. So, yeah, through training, we've paid attention to what's happening across the country. In addition to that, we're reaching out to the community to try to educate the community on as to how some things can happen, and on its surface it could appear one way, but once you scratch beneath the surface, there's an explanation for it. So our goal in reaching out to the community before something bad happens here is to educate them about the various layers to things like this, and with hopes that if in the unfortunate event that we're faced with something like this, we'll have a time and opportunity for things to play themselves out.
And I know in the past you've spoken about the difficulties in getting members of the community to come forward.
Yes.
and help the police solve crimes, and especially on gang-related issues. Tell me a little bit about how you've tried to improve that situation.
Well, you the best way to improve that situation is by building relationships. And one of the byproducts of a good relationship is trust. And trust is what's missing in that equation. So that's what we do, is we try to build good relationships with the community. One of the best ways to build relationships with the community is put yourself down on the level with the community and to be accessible to the community. And so we've done that in various ways. You know, we have a number of programs that we run throughout the police department. And then I take a firsthand approach to that. My coffees with the chief. We have various community meetings that run throughout the year. And there's other programs that we're going to unveil this summer that I'm not really in a position right now to talk about. But and it's just another aggressive campaign to get out and interact with the community to build up trust.
I wonder if for some of those witnesses or potential witnesses that you're trying to get to come forward or talk to you, that what goes through their minds is kind of a calculation to say, what's the riskier thing for me to do? Is it to talk to the police and be seen talking to the police? How might that affect my life as opposed to just staying quiet? And that particular crime then goes unsolved, but I'm not going to have retribution. I mean, how do you address that sort of basic calculation that perhaps some of these folks who have seen things and could help you are going through in terms of their own safety?
Well, and that's a real issue within our community. And what has happened is that because of that, the bad guys have become comfortable, and they pick neighborhoods where a belief like that is prevalent, right? And they further victimize the same people or the same neighborhoods, I should say. And so we have to reassure our neighbors in those communities that we have their back. We're going to see them through this. So when you compare the neighborhoods that I just mentioned to other neighborhoods within the city and around suburban areas, you'll see that other communities that are not plagued by crime That's because the neighbors are calling the police. And in the city of Syracuse, you can make a direct comparison to neighborhoods. When you look at our neighborhoods that have neighborhood watch programs, the burglary rate is down 73% in those neighborhoods. Mm. And then when you look at neighborhoods that don't have neighborhood watch groups, you'll see that the burglary rate in those neighborhoods is significantly higher. And the reason why is that the people with the neighborhood watch groups are diligent. They're going to call the police. And as a result, they've made themselves unattractive to the criminal element. And so through consistency and education, and as I said, building trust within those communities, we're going to get those neighbors on board, hopefully, and they're going to start calling the police, and we'll turn this thing around.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Syracuse Police Chief Frank Fowler. Do you think the fact that you are an African-American chief of police has had an impact on the police-community relations here in Syracuse and some of the local perceptions of the police force? Has it helped in some ways? Has it hurt in some ways, do you think?
I really don't know for sure. And quite frankly, for me, you're asking me that question. But if you ask someone else that question, they probably would be able to answer you right away. For me, I really don't have time to stop and think about that because there's so much work for me to do, and I deal with the issues, and I deal with issues and behavior, and so I really don't know the answer to that question. I think in a couple years when I retire, I sit back and I look at things, I will be able to see whether it made a difference or not, one way or another. But for right now, the fight wages on, and I'm busy putting my dukes up.
Well, we'll have that conversation in a year and a half, then I'll get your thoughts then. Let me turn to something else that's been in the news a bit in the last few months. The tensions with the Citizen Review Board here in Syracuse, a group of civilians who are appointed and volunteer and review actions of the police, make recommendations. Do you think that they are trying to over-police the police?
No, not really. I think that to some degree they're taking huge oversteps, and let me make an effort to explain that. Recently in the news, there was an article saying how I am not turning over certain cases to them that I'm required to turn over to them. Well, both the Citizens Review Board and myself are governed by a city ordinance. That city ordinance is a law. That law defines our relationship and what's required of both of us, right? And so there's a segment of the law that puts a timestamp on as to how long each of us have to provide one another with information. That's the law. And when the Citizens Review Board are not obeying the law, then I'm not providing them with that information because I don't want to condone them to continue to violate the law. Now, when that plays itself out in their report or in a newspaper article, it's Fowler not being transparent or Fowler not turning over information to the Citizens Review Board. Well, when they are in compliance with the law, they're getting everything that they're entitled to. When they're not in compliance with the law, I'm not giving them anything. I'm the chief of police. I enforce laws for a living, whether it's the CRB or whether it's the guy running the stop sign. If you're in violation of the law, then I'm going to hold you accountable. So that's what you're getting. So there's no tension between us and the CRB. The community has said that we want the CRB, right? And if that's what the community wants, that's what they should have. And I'm in agreement with that if that's what this community wants. But we still have rules. They have rules. I have rules. And if we all follow the rules, then this argument or confusion would be a moot point.
And just to clarify for our listeners, the piece of the law then that you're referring to is the time frame in which they must make the request, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Syracuse Police Chief Frank Fowler. And we've been talking about police-community relations and crime in the city of Syracuse. Let's talk about the highest profile crime, homicide. the city homicide rate has been climbing in recent years.
Yes.
What do you think is causing that?
You know, it's tough to tell. And what we do is obviously we look at our local numbers. That's what pops out first. Then we make a comparison to our surrounding areas, Buffalo and Rochester and Albany, to be specific. And then we expand beyond that and look at it nationally. See, is it a local, statewide, or national trend? And those violent crime, particularly homicides, are on the rise nationally. And I'm not offering that up as an excuse, but I'm saying that it's something that we're trying to figure out. Some argue that there's a Ferguson effect. Because when there's a direct correlation to the uptick in gun violence within urban communities, more specifically African American communities, after Ferguson, then obviously New York City and Baltimore. So that's something that we're trying to examine to see if there's a specific reason for it.
I suppose one of the first places that people might think. And that is to think about how the gang activity ebbs and flows. Do you think that it's a rise of more gang intensity that's perhaps causing the rate to go up?
Not necessarily, because when one of the areas that we track, so when we look at violence or violence overall, we look specifically at our gang. That's our gang-involved violence is one of the areas that we look at specifically. And that has been kind of steady, or there's a slight downtick in gang violence. But when you look at, just a chance encounter type of violence, that's on the rise significantly.
And tell me a little bit about what you regard in your tenure so far as the most effective crime deterrent measures that the department has taken, or crime solving initiatives that have happened?
Oh, hands down, any community relations effort, it helps. I mentioned earlier about Neighborhood Watch. It's involving the community because, look, the people within the community reside in those areas, right? They're there 24 hours, 7 days a week. And they know when something is out of the norm, right? They know when something or someone doesn't belong in their neighborhood, and that's a potential threat to their neighborhood. And in those instances, if they were to pick up the phone right away, give us a call, that'll give us a greater opportunity to deter those types of crime. And so one of the greatest things that we can do, and we continue to work at this, is by educating the public and trying to build the public's trust so that we can work hand in hand to attack these problems.
What do you think is the biggest myth that people in Syracuse walk around with regarding crime?
I think the biggest myth is that our streets are so dangerous, and they're really not. When you look at crime and violence, and once we get to the bottom of it, people have some sort of relationship to one another. You could see a problem building, a problem that arises between the people who are involved in the violence, and then the rest of the community just go about their day, you know, working and playing in our city and actually enjoying it. The city of Syracuse is a great place to live. And when you look at the way that crime and violence is sexy, right? Mm. People make a lot of money out of reporting that. And unfortunately, some people are even entertained by reading the stories. And so anytime we have crime and violence in our community, it's reported. The great things that are happening are not always reported. So we get more about the bad things, and that's never balanced out by the good things. So that builds perception. for the people in the city of Syracuse and more so for the people outside the city of Syracuse.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that in particular, the thing you just said at the end, the people outside the city of Syracuse. It does seem like there is this impression among many residents of the suburbs that, you know, the city is a dangerous place to go and, you know, I'm going to stay out of the city, et cetera, et cetera. How does one begin to address that?
I personally don't. I'm not going to entertain that. You know, I love my city. My city is safe, and we're going to continue to work to make it safer. And when you hear the comments that people make, or I really kind of tune them out, quite frankly, because I know the truth. And then you hear that. And you go out to the mall. You go out to Destiny USA, and you walk through the mall. I see strangers in the mall. I'm not looking at people that live in the city of Syracuse. Guess where Destiny USA is located? In the city of Syracuse, and there's a lot of people there, and people are shopping, spending their money safely. And some with frowns on their face because they've dug a little deeper than they wanted to. And some with smiles on their face because they've found a bargain or two. So I really don't throw a lot of energy into people that don't live in the city. It's a shame that they feel that way, but that's their problem and not mine.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Syracuse Police Chief Frank Fowler. You mentioned this at the outset of the interview, and you've said this more formally, publicly, that you'll retire as police chief when Mayor Stephanie Miner steps down in about a year and a half. So that's a very long in advance announcement for something like that. There's also been some talk that this is going to be Bill Fitzpatrick's last term as district attorney. Your offices have had some very, very difficult conflicts over the years. I wanted to know if you think, if both of those things happen, that the leadership changes in those offices, that some kind of new era of leadership in those offices could bring in a more cooperative relationship between them, that there's some hope for that, or whether there's just been so much bad blood that this is going to be a problem for a while.
All right. I think that the change in leadership is going to be good for the community, and we get the work done. So, even though you see stories, you see the stories, you hear the stories, we get the work done on a daily basis. Despite what may happen or what you may hear about conflicts between the district attorney's office and the Syracuse Police Department, we've remained focused on the priority, and that is fighting crime within our city. And I never thought I'd be in a position to speak for the district attorney's office, but I think you would find them saying the same thing, that we get the work done, we get the job done, we do what's required of us.
I want to push a little bit on this, though, because it does seem like I am going by some of the things that I read in the paper and the quotes, the things that have been said have not been particularly nice. And so it does make one wonder about, you know, if there is a need to cooperate in order to think creatively about what kinds of things we might do to deter crime or to lower crime in different ways. It's got to damage that. It's got to damage that effort in some way, right?
Let me just again attempt to add a perspective on it. You say you hear the things that are said. None of those things are said by me. How often do you hear me saying something? I'm busy working. I don't have the time nor the energy to dedicate to some type of fight or argument. I'll present some facts from time to time in an effort to add clarity to a story, particularly if the story itself is one-sided and I have something to add. If somebody makes an inquiry, a FOIL or something, I will present them with documents. but seldom am I making comments on it. And listen, people are just simply tired of all of this stuff. And add me to the equation. I just want to get down to business. I don't have any extra time to waste. You know, I have crime to fight. There's real issues out there that deserves my attention, and not some type of petty squabble.
As you look back on your time as chief since 2009, what would you regard as your highest high and your lowest low?
I haven't achieved my highest high yet. I'm looking forward to this year and a half, and I'm dedicated to working harder, if that's humanly possible, in this last year and a half than I've ever worked in my entire life. Because you're looking at a guy that is full of gratitude toward the city of Syracuse and the opportunity that I've had to serve them. And I'm going to show them exactly how much I appreciate it. So my highest high, I haven't reached that yet. I'm gonna dash across the finish line, and I'm gonna break the tape. I'm gonna break the tape strong when I finish, right? And the lowest low, I really, that's a challenging question to ask, because in my line of business, there's been some tough moments over the years. And so, boy, I don't know. Maybe it would be a combination of things. And I really haven't thought about it that deep in terms of the lowest low, because I wouldn't languish in a low, mm-hmm. right? It happens. I put it in perspective, and I keep it moving, because I know that there's always something else around the corner. And so I really, maybe, you know, in that 2-year span when you bring me back, I would have thought about that, and I'll be more capable of answering that question.
We've just got about a minute left, but there is one more thing I wanted to ask you. When you were installed as chief in 2009, I remember that you talked about growing up poor in St. Louis. And that you were a kid, this is your description, that people might look at and say, this kid's not going to make it.
Yeah.
And then you become the police chief.
Sure.
Do you think that experience makes you a better cop?
Absolutely. Hands down, no questions asked. All my life experiences I bring to the table each and every day. And it helps me. It helps me to maintain my empathy. I can't afford to become jaded in my position and look at others and pass judgment on them, because I have to continue to say to myself each and every day, there by the grace of God, go I.
That was Police Chief Frank Fowler. Chief Fowler, thanks so much for talking with me. You've been listening to The Campbell Conversations on WRVO.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.